Amen. Is that your desire tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, we're so excited tonight to have Brother Bryce and Sister Stephanie Collins with us from Claremore, Oklahoma. And we've been in services together before, but we've never really had an opportunity to just get some good fellowship. And the Lord gave us that opportunity yesterday, so thank the Lord for that. We got to go up on Mount Lemmon, and you know, there's two types of people that go up on Mount Lemmon that I've taken in the years past. There's people that really like it, and there's people that can't wait to get back down. So I'm thankful that there's the latter type, because Tucson would be too crowded if everybody liked it. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have told me over the years, oh, I could never live in Tucson, you know, and they imagine these giant monsters and, you know, snakes are just in every corner waiting to bite you. It's actually worse back east, because you can't see the snake, for one thing, and a lot of them don't have rattlers. At least you can see them here, right? But whatever, you know, we're not here to debate that. I'm just glad that everybody doesn't like Tucson, because that way it's not too crowded. So anyway, we've also got, they brought their daughter Sarah and their son Micah with them as well. So glad to have them with us. And we also have Brother Adam Pilger with us. So glad to have him with us. He's a native of Louisiana and attends the Evening Light Tabernacle in Louisiana. So he's a talented young man, and he's also he's a Christian. He's a believer. So we're just glad to have them with us tonight. Now their other daughter was not able to. Bethany, she's working, and I understand that there might be a connection between Adam and Bethany. You know, call me crazy, but it looks like a good connection to me. She's working, and so I understand she's coming out a little later. There's a wedding that's they've come out to attend up in the Phoenix area, and so and Sister Shonika and her husband and her family attend their fellowship, and she's going to be out as well. We've managed to talk her into doing some family pictures for us, so we're looking forward to that. I don't know how many of you know it, but the tram has been shut down at Sabino Canyon for several months. You know, it's kind of a government thing, and government in their infinite wisdom waits until the contract expires to begin negotiating a new contract. And of course, they want to make changes and all that. And, you know, to me, the thing would have been to start that 6 months ago. But anyway, you know, the last 30 years they've been running, and all of a sudden just stop like that. And it's a big deal. There's a lot of people that go up there. So it looks like by the beginning, they say by the beginning of next year, they're going to get something started again. They've been negotiating the contract, and they're going to eventually be all electric vehicles up there. And then they're going to give people headsets to when you go up there, so you don't have to listen to somebody speak over a squawky speaker. And actually, in our case, you don't have a tram leader that tells you to shut up, because other people might want to hear it. And so anyway, it'll be an improvement, I'm sure. So I remember one of the last times that we went up there, we were in a car that was in the back, and I thought we were in Disneyland. The car was going like this, you know. Weaving back and forth. So anyway, this should be an improvement. So we walked 2 miles into the canyon, well, probably a little more than 2 miles, and then 2 miles back, obviously. And so they didn't get to see the sights, so they just have to come back, right? Yeah. So, you know, maybe the Lord stopped the tram just for that reason, knowing they were going to come out here now, and they got to come back again. So anyway, we haven't known each other very long, but it doesn't take long to, when you're fellowshipping with those of like precious faith, to realize you have more in common than you do with your own kin many times, and just appreciate their spirit and their love for the Lord, and understand that Brother Bryce was a Baptist just like me, so another Baptist, and Brother Brown was a Baptist, right? So anyway, so we want to invite him to come out and just take his liberty here tonight, and we just want to make him welcome, and don't want him to be uncomfortable or nervous. Just there's nobody here but us, right? So we just come to worship God, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. How many believes that the Lord has something for you tonight? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Praise the Lord. So if you would stand. Counts the stars, one and all. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad he knows your name? Amen. What a revelation. Amen. That he knows my name. He knows all about me. He knows my ups and my downs and my battles. And he loves me anyhow. Amen. That's something to be thankful for. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And felt the presence of the Lord there. Just settle down, and that's what we need is the presence of the Lord. We honor that presence and appreciate Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer for the hospitality they've given to us, and for him being so gracious and opening the door for us to come, not even really knowing that much about me. And but I pray the Lord help me that I don't let him down. Praise the Lord. Well, no, I come just to be a blessing to you, and just to do my best to be a help in the kingdom of God. That's the best that we can, any of us can offer, is just to be a help in whatever place he puts us. If we're mowing the grass, if we're cleaning the church, whatever we can do, and God uses us in that place, we need to hold our position, and we need to do our part. With the honor and glory to the Lord, amen. And when it's all done, as Brother Bram says, we just count ourselves an unprofitable servant. We did it all just out of love to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I will just get right to the scripture here and let you be seated. And we're going to read from Genesis 1 and 1. So I'm sure you know the scripture by heart. We'll read the first three verses here and let you have your seats. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Let's just bow our hearts in a word of prayer together. And as we go to Him in prayer, if you have a need on your heart, why don't you just slip your hand up to Him? We know that He sees. Heavenly Father, we come to this portion of the service, and Father, we come to You, and now we just surrender ourselves to You and ask, Lord Jesus, that You would come on the scene to open Your Word to us. Lord, we know that no man can open this Word, and no man can give the understanding nor the revelation of it. But Lord, we depend upon You right now, and we're asking, Lord, that You would help both speaker and hearer to just yield, and Lord, to let Your Spirit move in our hearts, and Lord, that we can hear Your voice clear to us, Lord, as an individual tonight. God, may it speak, Lord, our language, Lord, and draw us in a deeper love with You, and draw us closer to You, Lord, a closer walk with You, and a greater love, Lord. And Father, we're reaching out to You right now and just asking that You would have Your way. Bless each one in a special way is our prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I guess it's all right to remove this. Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. I don't get out and preach a whole lot, so I just mostly labor there at home and close to home. So this is quite a different thing for us. And I was back in the study there and just thinking, oh, I feel them nerves as a preacher, you know. Brother Doug's praying for me back there, but I'm doing my best, brother, to just relax and, you know, God, amen, gotta get past the nerves so that the Lord can help us, amen, and use us. But it's an honor to serve the Lord. And it's an honor to be a representative of His kingdom, amen. And it's an honor, amen, to be able to say that I know what it is to be a son of God, amen. It's an honor to have a desire for God. It's an honor to hunger and thirst for Him, amen. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. Amen. It's a great thing because not everybody has a hunger. Not everybody has a thirst. But you're blessed. If you have a hunger and you have a thirst, you should thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just wanted to speak real briefly before I start that we did go up to Mount Lemmon and enjoyed that, and Sabino Canyon, what we were able to see was a blessing to us. We've never had the privilege to go there and see, and Brother Doug, again, was very gracious to take us and spend that time and enlighten us in a lot of ways, and we very much appreciate that. And I was thinking back there in the office that, you know, when you're up there on Mount Lemmon and looking off 100 miles this way and 90 miles this way and just the vastness, Lord, it reminds me of looking up in the stars and seeing way up in the solar system beyond, the galaxies beyond, into the universe, and kind of makes you feel small sometimes when you look at it and you realize just how little we are and just how big God is, amen. We have a great big God, and our needs, though they seem so big to God, or nothing. Amen. If we'll just put our trust in Him, He'll supply every need. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to read a few quotes to you as we get started here. This is out of hearing, recognizing, and acting on the Word of God. It says, in the Garden of Eden, sin was so beautiful until it attracted Eve from righteousness to sin. In the same garden, there was a tree of life and there was also a tree of death. We would know it today as the law of contrast. That's what I want to speak on here. That's where there's good, there's evil. Where there's right, there's wrong. We will never, no matter what our environment may be, ever be able to shake ourselves from the presence of either. Because Paul said, when I would do good, then evil is present. The sinner will never be able to shake away from the Christian and the Christian from the sinner. There will be a witness there of right and a testimony of wrong always. And you make your choice. You have to take one side or the other. The law of contrast. God reveals Himself through contrast. And we would see Jesus. He says, God knew the end from the beginning. Then you would say, why would He permit sickness? I'll ask you a question. Which was first, a Savior or a sinner? A Savior. Which was first, a healer or a sickness? God permitted it that He might project His love and power to the human race. Amen. In A Blushing Prophet, He says, you would never know how to appreciate a day if you didn't have a night. You'd never know how to appreciate the sunshine if you didn't have a cloudy day. You'd never know how to appreciate righteousness until you had some unrighteousness. You'd never know how to appreciate good health unless you'd had some foul health, some bad health. It's only those. And that's the reason I think that we'll appreciate heaven so much is because we've lived on earth once. Amen? So taking this thought and the law of contrast and thinking of Adam and Eve in the garden, and we can picture what it was like. What must it have been like to walk with God unhindered? No battle to get in the presence of God. No spirits to press through. No flesh to press through. Nothing to have to come in and battle your way in to get in the presence of God, but you just came in the presence of God and you remained in the presence of God. You never had to leave the presence of God. You walked with God unhindered, unfettered. There was no battles, no weariness, no tiredness of body. What would that have been like? But yet in all of that, Adam and Eve could not appreciate what they had. They had no idea what a privilege it was, what an honor it was to walk with God. They had no idea how privileged and how blessed they were. Sometimes we forget just how blessed we are. Amen. Sometimes it takes a little bit of hardship for us to look up to God and God to meet our need. And then we realize, amen, how good God is, how merciful God is, how loving God is. Amen. He walked with God, had fellowship with God, and all they knew was the blessed peace and assurance of that presence of God and that love they had. Amen. Perfect love, perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect righteousness. Amen. So in the beginning, we read here, as we read, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Sounds like a pretty bad situation, amen. Sounds like nothing there to be encouraged about. But then we find that God provides a contrast to that situation, and He speaks and says, let there be light. He takes the emptiness, the voidness, the darkness. Oh, that sounds like you and I someday, amen. There was nothing but emptiness and voidness and darkness. But yet God spoke into that darkness in your heart and said, let there be light. And suddenly something shone inside of you and you recognized, amen, something's alive within me. Something that I didn't know was there. The light of God's Word is shining. And now I see clearly I'm not just a human being. I'm not just a man placed upon the face of the earth to work and to have a family. But I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm called of God. I'm in His nature and likeness and very image. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. No matter how dark the troubles, no matter how dark the way, no matter how hard your battle, God's always got a contrast. Amen. No matter how dark the night, the moon still declares
The presence of the Son is somewhere, and joy will come in the morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 6 and 1, we would read, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all that they chose, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought, of his heart, was on evil continually." Sounds familiar. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." What a condition. What a condition. But the next verse provides a contrast. "But Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God." But Noah found favor in the eyes of God, the grace of God. What made the difference in our life? The grace of God. Amen. The grace of God provided the contrast. We were all headed to the same place. We were all going to the same pit. But God provided the grace and contrast in our life to bring us out of that pit unto Himself. Oh, what a love. What a grace. Amen. Noah became God's contrast to a godless world. God's contrast to a godless generation. Amen. Daniel, the three Hebrew children, in the days of the captivity of Babylon, they became a contrast. Amen. When all of Israel was taken captive and all of Israel was taken upon a lost identity there in Babylon, these Hebrew children, they said, "We will not be defiled by the king's meat. We will not accept the ways of Babylon, the world. We'll not go that way, but we have something different in our heart. We have a true identity of who we are and where we come from, and we will return someday to that place. We're not going to get caught up here. We realize, amen, that we are called to be God's contrast in our day." Amen. To contrast the darkness, to contrast the unbelief, to contrast what's going on around us, to recognize, amen, we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. Refused it. They refused to lose their identity. They tried to put a different name on them. They tried to name them after their gods of that day in Babylon. They tried to cause them to lose the identity of who they really were. But they said, "We will not take on no new identity. We will be what God's called us to be. We're Hebrews, amen, and we'll remain Hebrews by our name and our identity. We're God's children, amen." And it came down to a time the pressure was on. There was an image made to their brother. And they called them and pressured them to bow down to this image. But yet they refused, amen, to bow to anything but the Lord God only. Amen. I was reading where Brother Bram was talking about when they tried to get him to go to see the Pope, and he said that, "What do I have to do?" And they said, "You must bow down and you must kiss his ring, and then you must bow down and kiss his toe." He said, "No, sir, not me. I will bow to only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. I can identify with that. How about you? I won't bow to no image. I won't bow to nobody's idea of what it's supposed to be. I will bow to the Word of God and that alone. Amen. You show me in the Word, I'll bow to it. Amen. You take anything outside of that, I'm taught by a prophet, I can't go there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that right? Balaam, a hired prophet, he came to curse Israel. Deuteronomy 23:5 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but," there's the contrast, "but the Lord thy God turned the curse of thy God of unto thee," amen, "the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. because the Lord thy God loveth thee. Oh my. And you look, amen, at what Satan has tried to do to you and me. Hey, if you're a son of God, you always was a son of God. You always was a part of God. And what Satan has tried to do to God's family and God's children is take the curse of sin and lay it on your name and lay it on your head. But God said, no, sir. And he turned the curse into a blessing. Amen. He turned, amen, you and me, amen, our hearts which were in sin and we knew not God. But yet God, rich in mercy, revealed himself to us and called himself to us and provided the contrast himself and turned that curse into a blessing. He took those sins and took them upon his flesh and took that flesh and nailed it to the cross and took our place and provided our contrast. Amen. God, rich in mercy. Amen. But God, rich in mercy. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Through that curse of sin comes our Savior. Through that curse of sin comes our healer. Through that curse of sin, now we don't know God, amen, just as a God way off, but now God's come down to us and we recognize him for who he is. He is a Savior. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a Prince of Peace. He is the mighty God. He is a counselor in your time of trouble. Amen. You can get the answer from God. Amen. He is the answer. He has the answer. The problem is we don't seek the Lord with all our heart and we give up on God. But you know what? If we'll turn and seek the Lord with all our heart, he promised he would be found. He promised we could find him. Is that right? Amen. That's the problem. We give up too quick. Amen. One preacher said it like this, said we pray for it, and we give up, and we walk away, and the mail shows up, and we don't go out and get the mail. God delivers, and we ain't going out and checking the mailbox no more. God will do his part every time. He will not fail. Our God cannot fail. He can, amen, he can do a lot of things, but one thing he cannot do, he cannot fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. Romans 8:20 says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Subjected. We've been subjected to vanity. We've been subjected to a body of flesh, a body of humiliation, a body that gets tired, it gets weak, and grows old and weary. And we can't help it. We're subjected to it. We had no say in it. We had no choice in it. We're subjected to that. But God provided a contrast to that. And he said, but, amen, the same one, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. See, God had a purpose in subjecting us to vanity because he's going to take us and subject us to hope. What is hope? It's a joyful and confident expectation. So now you've been subjected to an expectation and you can't help it. There's nothing you can do about it. God put it on the inside of you. You didn't ask for it, but God put it there. And you hear the word of God and an expectation comes out of a believer's heart and we're subjected to it. And when we get sick, we expect the healer. When we get down in trouble, we expect God our deliverer. When we get in a place, amen, we look to the hills from whence our help comes. Where does our help come? From the Lord. He's the one I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the doctor. I'm not looking for the lawyer. I'm looking for the great physician, my mighty God, the counselor, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. Amen. He's the one. Amen. And we're subjected to it. Don't blame the believer. He can't help it. He believes God. Don't get upset with him. He's just subjected to it. God has subjected us to a hope an expectation that we will see a rapture. I can't help it. I'm subjected to it. I know that I must take on this word and become the word in my day. I can't help it. I'm subjected to it. It's just going to be as we yield to Him. We become like Him. Amen. We're just subjected to it. Don't get upset at the believer. He can't help it. Amen. That's just how he's made. Amen. Job was subjected to a lot of troubles. There's nobody suffered like Job. When we go through our times, we always think of Job because we know that he had it worse. Amen. No one could understand him. No one could relate to him. No one could help him. The guys come by, supposed to be his comforters, became his so much of not a help to him, you know. You know, when somebody's down, and I've learned this, we need to really consider what we say and how we say it. Because we could actually, another spirit slip in there, and we would actually cause them more trouble by the things that we say than actually giving them something to reach for and believe God for. I just have to throw this in. My wife went through breast cancer about 10, 11 years ago. And during that time, I witnessed it. And it was very troubling, Brother Doug, when you get comforters coming. They're wanting to, but then they start testifying of things that happened to so-and-so. And they were believing God, but this happened. And I just, boy, I thought, man, Satan is in people not even realizing what they're saying. They're actually causing trouble and hardship in our lives and my wife. And I remember taking a stand against that and saying, and we even had somebody supposedly had a vision that it was horrible. And I knew that it was a devil. Because my God in His Word says, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee of all thy diseases. That's the word of the Lord. I'll take the word of the Lord any day over anything anybody says, thinks, any dream, any vision. Let it be the word of God first. Amen. Yes, sir. So I remember having to take that stand, and oh my, it was difficult days. But the Lord saw us through, and we believed and trusted in the Lord. And my wife is completely well by the grace of God. Amen. 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 So one day, amen, old Job and all of his troubles and all of his trials and all of his predicament he was in, and seemed like he couldn't get an answer from God. He couldn't figure out things, you know. And no wonder the Bible says that we should never lean to our own understanding, because God's ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We're like the little, what Brother Bram talks about, the little canary brain, you know. We think that we understand everything, and we think we got it all figured out. And really, we just got a little canary brain in there. We don't understand God, and we don't understand His ways, and we can't explain faith. Brother Bram says, try to explain faith. How are you going to explain it to somebody? How could Noah explain what he was doing to the unbeliever? How could he possibly, isn't it something how God puts us in situations? Go build an ark on the side of a hill. Makes you look completely ridiculous. Puts you out there and makes you look like you're out of your mind. Well, thank God I am. I got the mind of Christ. I don't want my mind. And so I'm following what God said. I'm going to do what He said, working on it day after day. Looks ridiculous. The insanity of faith. But yet God did exactly what He said. Wait. Abram going around saying, don't call me High Father, call me Abraham, father of many nations. Where's your son? You're 90 years old, where's your son? I don't know, but God said, I'm going to have a son. 95, where's your son, Abraham? You call yourself the father of many nations, where's it starting? You ain't got a son yet. But there's something about the seed of Abraham. They don't know how to quit believing. They hold on to God. Amen. If we're a seed of Abraham, we don't put a time limit on God. We don't put a time limit. God is eternal. Time means nothing to God. We're subject to time, but God's not subject to time. God is subject to keeping His word. And He's faithful to keep His word. Amen. So he began to see something. Amen. He began to become subject to an expectation, old Job did. And we read there where the light flashed on his heart and said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." That's a huge statement. Because by saying, "I know my Redeemer liveth," that's saying that I know the one that can solve all of my problems, that can redeem me back to a right standing in a proper place where I belong. He liveth. I know the one that's going to do it's alive. It's just a matter of time. You're going to see me, Job, standing upon the earth. My Redeemer lives. Amen. The skin worms are not going to destroy. Though they destroy this body, they can't destroy who I am. Though this flesh goes in the ground, it doesn't mean nothing. Who I am's on the inside, and I will stand in a body of flesh upon this earth and declare, my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? He says, "Though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Wonderful. Amen. Ephesians 2:1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all," that's every one of us, "we all had our conversation," which means our life, our lifestyle, "in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We can all take a trip back there in our mind and we can remember just where we were at. We can remember some of the low places in our life, some of the times that we would be ashamed of right now to stand up and say, "Yeah, I've been there. I've done that. I'm guilty of that." But God provided a contrast for us. God provided the contrast we needed when we were in the worst condition, the most deserving of hell of anybody. I stand here tonight and say, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm not looking at nobody else. You know what's amazing to me is the grace that God had for me. It don't amaze me that God loves you. But when I look at myself and I think, how God could love me? How could God love me? That's the hard part, ain't it? Amen. I can see him loving you. I can hear your testimony. And I'm sure God forgives you, but me. That makes a difference. God loves me. Sometimes that's hard for us to say it, ain't it? Sometimes it's hard to look up and say, "I know that God loves me." I tell you, he does. He does so much that he took your place. He took my place. He bore our sins. He carried them far away. Amen. He nailed them there at that cross at Calvary. Amen. So that we could go free. Praise God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Rich. He's not just got a little bit. He's got a lot of mercy. He's not just got a little bit. He's rich is an abundance. It's more than enough. Look, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, he wasn't just a somewhat wealthy. He was a wealthy man. He had more than enough to redeem Naomi and get Ruth. He had more than enough to pay everything off and have more than enough left over. God, rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he's going to show us his grace and kindness towards us at the end of the ages. At the end of the ages now, God's still showing to us his grace and his kindness. In these days that we live in, when the seals have been pulled back and the books come open and it's become unveiled. It was veiled, now we're unveiled. It's the unveiling of God. It's the revealing of God and who God is. Why is this message so important to us? Why does it mean so much to us? Because it's causing us to see our Lord like we never would have seen Him before. We can see the book. We can see our names in the book. We can read who we are. And we can understand what's going on around us and why we're here and where we come from and how we got here and where we're going. It means everything to the believer. Amen. Amen. And the spirit of Antichrist going forth on his horse rides, and God sending that anointing upon his children. Endure, withstand, and overcome that spirit as it rode. As a white horse rider went out, and we know, I won't go into all that, but I'm sure your pastors cover that much, but as that went out, there was an anointing to meet that. And as the next one took off on his ride, there was another anointing to come, the ox to meet that. And then the other anointing, the other Antichrist, there was an anointing to meet that. Isn't it something how God always provides the contrast to the situation? He always provides a contrast to what's going on in that age and in that age and in that age and in this age. God has somebody that's anointed to be his contrast in this day. Amen. He's calling for those that are willing to be a contrast to the day they're living in. You're not called to be like everyone around you. You're called to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to take on his nature, to take on his character, to be that image of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we find that instead of being a contrast, there's a blending in. Sadly, people are being conditioned by the age that they live in rather than being conditioned by the Word of God. Amen? Being conditioned. To condition is to have a significant influence on, to train to accept certain circumstances. And I begin to think about being conditioned to the age. I was conditioned to the age I grew up in. We all were. Amen. We didn't come out and understand what was going on. So as I was raised up, as Brother Doug said, I was raised as a Baptist boy. And I'm thankful for the fact that I had parents that at least believed what they did, because it wasn't an unbelieving home or a drug home or those sort of things. But I'm thankful for the what I did get. I'm thankful for that. I was pointed towards Calvary as the only source of any salvation, and I'm thankful for that. And so I begin to think, you know, growing up in the my memories would be the late 70s and through the 80s, and what you saw in that day was of course all the women they wore the pants, they cut the hair, they had makeup and all this stuff, and that was just normal. So there's no reason for me to look at that as being odd. There's no reason for me to, in myself, to think anything of it, and all the immodesty and all the things, and see the women at the church, and then they go to the pool and they take the clothes off and things, and that was just normal. That was just being conditioned by the age. But see, we're not to be conditioned. It don't matter what the condition of the age is. The Word of God stands sure and strong and steadfast and immovable. And no matter what the condition is, we have got to get our heart from the Word of God. The conditioning is not the age. The conditioning is the Word to the age. Amen? Normal. Amen. I was thinking, you know, my kids are growing up, you know, and we tell them about the old days when we had telephones that were corded, and, you know, way back in the days, way gone by, you know, sounds like we're talking about the black and white days of, no, this was in the 80s. My family still had party line. Anybody know what party line is? And you pick up the phone and the old lady neighbor's on there gossiping about somebody, and you have to wait an hour to talk. You know, and try your patience. You know, you're sharing with three other neighbors, and they're talking about growing tomatoes and everything else. And you're like, oh, I'd like to make this call sometime this week. So, yeah, those things. But see, they don't know nothing about it. They're growing up in a different age. And now it's normal to have cell phones. It's normal. Everybody's got a cell phone. Hardly anybody has a landline. It's just becoming a different thing. But you see, we're conditioned by the age. And I thought, you know, kids being raised up today, they're going to think it's normal. They're going to think that women are born with purple hair. You know, they're going to think that tattoos are birthmarks. They're going to think these things are normal. It's the condition of the age. But no matter what the condition of the age is, in light of God's Word, it's wrong. It's sin. And it is not acceptable, and it cannot be acceptable to any son of God. Amen. It's got to be according to the Word. Amen. Israel and Egypt, being enslaved. I'm sure at first some people were not happy about being taken captive. I'm sure they were not happy about being a slave. But as generation went on and generation went on, they began to realize they were in bondage and they were pretty much there, didn't rise up in rebellion, and mom and daddy accepted it, and so I accept it. Before long, they lost their identity. That a bad case of spiritual amnesia hit them. And they began to identify themselves as just a servant or a slave to Egypt. They began to, in their own hearts and minds, accept that they're only to remain as a slave in Egyptian control, under Egyptians' power. Amen? You're a slave. You're always going to be a slave. You're just a slave. Just grin and bear it. But thank God. Amen? God's Word says that He has come to set you free. God is not interested in you remaining in the condition you're in. If you're a slave to some form of sin or some form of whatever it is in your life, God don't want you to remain there. God has made the way for you to go free. Amen? It's up to you. You've got to press the battle. You've got to take the Word of God. You've got to beat down your enemy. You've got to take the Word of God and defeat your enemy, Egyptian slave taskmaster. Amen? God come to set you free. And God has purpose for each and every life. Amen? He's got a purpose. Not just to be a part of a group. Not just to be a message believer. To identify as a message believer. We were talking about it the other day, and I said, you know, and we know that that goes on, and I know it doesn't go on here. I know Brother Doug well enough and heard him preach. I know. But just being in a message church, people are growing up thinking that they're okay without ever meeting God themselves and having an experience with God and receiving the life of God, the token life in their heart for themselves, and they're missing everything. They can stand up and say, I believe God sent a prophet. They could quote the Word. They can tell you, amen, book, line, chapter, whatever. They can do those things. They've been trained, all right, but they never came into it. So we could say in Egypt, they could say, well, we know that Moses is a prophet. God has sent a prophet. Look at all the vindication. Look at what he's done. And now we've received a message to apply the token. He says to apply the token that the death angel is going to pass by. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it. Amen. That's true. He says to go in and to eat the lamb and don't let any of it remain. Eat the whole thing, which is the Word of God. Eat it all. Amen. Be ready to go. Deliverance is coming in the morning. I believe it. That's the Word of God. And never apply it. Never apply it to your life. What good did it do them? Those that fell under that, their firstborn were destroyed. Amen. But anybody that dared to do exactly as the prophet declared and follow that Word, it took them back. Amen. And they applied that token to their life. They went free. They received the blessing of the Word, and not just a hearer only, became a doer of the Word, and they received the benefit of the Word. Amen? Why are we not benefiting from the Word? Well, get off my notes a little bit. I'm preaching at home. You know, the seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed, which is the Word of God. There's not one thing wrong with it. But Jesus said, you by your traditions have caused the Word of God to be of no effect to you. So we, by how we treat the Word and how we receive the Word, we can actually kill the effects of the Word. The same Word that created all heavens and earth can become no effective to, imagine that. The Word which has unlimited power, becomes of no effect to a human being when we don't receive it in the right place and water it and nourish it and take care of it. And I began to think about my wife. You know, when she got pregnant with our first child, she was so concerned. You know, people having miscarriage. We went on the boat and she was like 6 months along and she was concerned. She said, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out because it could cause something. I want. She had life inside of her. She was protecting. She was a carrier of life. And that life meant more to her than a boat ride. It meant more to her than having some pleasure. She began to protect that life. She began to defend that life because she wanted to bring forth. Friend, I want to bring forth. I'm going to protect this life inside of me. I'm not going to go just anywhere. I'm not going to, amen, sacrifice out here to do whatever. I am going to nurture that life. I'm going to feed that life. I'm going to be like Brother Branham and say, if God's in your heart, when those church doors are open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there because it's more than life to me. I've met God and He's more than life to me. He's everything to me. There's nothing in this world that I care about more than my Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's more than life to me. Amen. God created man in His image. Amen. In the beginning, man was created to be in the image of God, but that image was lost in the garden. In Romans chapter 1, we read how man, after his imagination, they changed the glory of God into, amen, four-footed beasts and all kinds of things. And, you know, man, in his imagination, he can make anything out of God. The problem is, amen, there's only one place we can look and find that image of God and be restored to that image, and that's the Word of God. Amen? If we're left to our own imaginations, well, it'll run wild and you'll have all kinds of things. But we see, amen, that the Bible says, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, as we behold in the mirror, in the looking glass, which is the Word of God, we behold His image. We become that image. What image are we putting before us? What image are we looking at? We are to become that image, which is God. The reflector, the Word of God, tells us who He is and what He is. And that's what we are to be striving for. Amen. And it's not veiled. It's become unveiled. And we're beholding His glory, His person. And we're being changed, which is transformed. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, there's only one transforming power. That is the Spirit of God in our life. Amen? Brother Branham says an influence. I'm trying to hurry, not hold you. But that's the reason the Holy Spirit is such a definite must in this day. Because it is the one that lives your life. You don't live it yourself. It's Christ in you. Then after you receive the Holy Spirit, and if He doesn't have the preeminence in your life, then you just remember, you haven't received the Holy Spirit because if He is in you, He'll live His own life. Yes, that's powerful, friend. Amen. You're no more your own. You're dead and your life is hidden God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. And there is no way at all for you to be yourself no more what you were. Amen. The Spirit of God, amen, living His life through us. That's what we want, amen. I don't want to project me to you. I have no interest in that. But I want Jesus Christ projected. Don't you? Isn't that what you want people to see? There ain't no value in this human flesh. There ain't no value in this corruptible body. There's no value there, but there's a value behind that skin that you wear that's worth 10,000 worlds, a soul that's inside of there. God came to redeem that soul to Himself, and He gave His own precious life to redeem it. Amen? He cares about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has called and chosen a people to be a contrast in this age. Amen. So dark. Amen. Spirit of God moving in these last days says, let there be light. Evening light shining, calling forth a contrast. What is the contrast? It's a contrast to Laodicea. It's a contrast to the lukewarm, indifferent spirit that prevails in this age. You've got to fight it every day. There ain't none of us immune. No preacher is immune from it. None of us are immune from it. We have got to press the battle every day. There's nothing wrong with you, amen, pressing the battle. What's wrong is when we give up and we sit down and we relax. That's when Satan is winning the battle. But friend, we've got to press every day. It's a battle. It's not a picnic. Brother Brown would say it is a battle every day to walk with God. But oh, the reward is worth it. The reward is worth it. Amen. It's far beyond, amen, what we could even imagine what's awaiting. Amen. The Bible says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In questions and answers, he says, this is the negative. The negative part of life is where you're living now. Anything, if there's a negative, there's got to be a positive before there can be a negative. Therefore, if this is a negative, there's got to be a positive somewhere. And this ain't the real thing. I like that. This ain't the real thing. This is only a foreshadow of the real thing that is to come. Now you got it, he has. So I don't care what they would do with you. They cannot destroy that profile, that picture in God's great gallery up there. It cannot destroy it. It's in heaven. You can burn it up. You can feed it to the lions. Do anything, any way you want to. It'll come forth again just as sure as 2 2's is 4. Don't you like how he says that? Just as sure as God spoke it, it'll come forth. It will come forth. Amen? This isn't the real thing. Well, we get caught up in it, and we get our flesh relates to it, and our flesh, and we got a battle. Us brothers that got to get up and go to the job the next day, we've got a battle. We got this flesh that wants to relate to this life, and we know we got to go out and make the money to pay the bills, and we got to look for, you know, better home or whatever it is. We've got these things that are constantly on our warring against us in this flesh body. The challenge is to recognize this ain't the real thing. This is only a perverted form of life. Real life is on the other side. This is only a perverted form of what God has, which is real life, which only comes through the Holy Ghost living inside of us. We get a taste, a foretaste of what's awaiting on the other side. You know when the presence of God drops down to service and the Spirit of God moves on your heart? Amen. You get a foretaste. Just a foretaste of what it will be on the other side. Just a glimpse of what God's got waiting for you on the other side. Why do you leave your homes? Why do you come to the church of God? Why do you enter into service? Why do you hunger and press? It's because you've got a taste of what's awaiting on the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This life is mixed with death. Amen. But there's a positive that's calling somewhere. There's a positive on the other side that's calling to us. Brother Branham would say it like this. We heard from our theophany. There's something calling to us on the other side. In the other dimension, just across the way, there's something calling to you and I tonight. It's calling for us to press the battle. It's calling for us, amen, to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily would beset us and get us off. Not to destroy us, but just get us off balance so we're not walking straight. We're not talking straight. Satan's waiting at every opportunity to bring you to a condemnation and to a discouragement and to a place where you're of no value. The sooner you recognize that he is a liar and he's only here to prevent you and hold you back and discourage you and recognize he has no power over you. Amen. Brother Bram said it like this. He said, you were trapped into this. You were only trapped into this. It wasn't you, amen, and God within you, that seed life in you, never did. It never did those things. He said, you're justified as if you never done it in the first place. Amen? If you could catch a hold of that, it's just, man, it puts a power in your punch when you come to the devil and you say, Satan, I know that I know that in myself I'm a failure and I'm no match for you, but thanks be to God. God is rich in mercy and He has sent back His Holy Spirit into my life, and I am an overcomer and I will defeat you. I will walk on your head. If Satan's talking to you, you need to get him back under your feet and stand on his head, because he belongs under your feet. So say, Satan, get back where you belong and put him under your feet. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm an overcomer. Say it sometime, it'll do you good. Amen. When you're alone, say, Satan, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a blood-bought purchase, amen, of the Son of God, amen. And I don't have to be defeated. I can be victorious every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this quote. We have seen His star and come to worship Him. Almighty God, He's praying, says, we thank Thee tonight from the very depths of our heart. For the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts these last days by the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee because that we have the privilege of assembling ourselves together and worshiping Thee, and having this blessed assurance that someday You're coming for Your church. We thank Thee to be the light bearers of this age, to be here ready to manifest the promised word for the age that we're now living in. Knowing that in the beginning You allotted out Your word, and knowing the end from the beginning, each age You allotted Your word to that age. Somehow, this is it. We don't know how it ever happened, but in each one of those ages, as we look back upon Thy word, we see that there was an anointing come in that age that fulfilled that word. And in the days that we are now living in, there is an allotted word and a promise for this age, and we believe that the Holy Spirit is here on the earth now, trying to find hearts to manifest and to bring to pass by vindicating the word that's now prophesied for this day and this hour. Somehow, I don't know how, but God in His mercy has given an anointing upon a people in this day that they can live in the midst of the most perverted, the most dark age there ever was on the face of the earth, and can be anointed to be a contrast to what's going on around us. To be a light bearer in a dark age. To be a reflector. We have no light of our own, but we can reflect the light of God. Amen. John came, and it said that he came. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. He was not the light. Brother Branham was not the light. They came to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And by that, amen, we step in, and we are now the light bearer. Brother Branham has done his part. Paul has done his part. Irenaeus did his part. Amen. All Martin Luther, all of them did their part. It's our day. It's our time. Let our light shine. Let it reflect through us to the world, a lost and dying world, that Jesus Christ is alive. And He can still, amen, find a heart to have His way in. Amen. Anointing. Anointing come down. Oh, thank God. Thank God for the anointing of God's Spirit upon this bride in this last day. Amen. To be a light bearer. To not be a lukewarm, indifferent, cold, formal Christian, but to be a light bearer. To be able to say, I know what it is to have the life of God inside of my heart. I know what it is to walk with God, to talk with God, to have my prayers answered, to see God move in my life. And I can tell you, He's alive and He's real. Amen. Praise the Lord. Called, amen, to walk with Him. That's what we are. We're called to walk with Him. You know, this walk, and I'll bring this to a close, this walk of God is the most precious thing that we have in life. We should never jeopardize it. We should never take any chances with it. It should be the most precious thing that we have, is that we are walking with the Lord. Amen. We love to gather for our services. We love that. But I tell you, every day is a walk with God. We live our life 99% of the time outside of the doors and the walls here. And that is a place where your light has got to shine. You've got to bear forth and reflect that light that's inside of our life. And it's a walk with God. Enoch, which is a type of the bride, seventh from Adam, going, amen, up to be with the Lord. He walked with God. The Bible declares he walked with God. Yeah. It didn't say that it was him and his brother and his cousin and everybody else, yeah, but it says Enoch. It was an individual.
Yes, sir.
Walked with God. He lived 365 days, which we could look at easily, types out to be every day of the year. He walked with God. Enoch's name means dedicated. He had a dedicated life. He was dedicated to his walk with God. That's all that meant everything to Enoch was his walk with God every day. And Enoch knew not, he was not found, he was gone, they knew not, he was taken. God took him from the earth. Amen? It was a one-on-one affair.
Yes, sir.
And I want to share this because it's always just been the world to me. Brother Branham, you think of his, oh, if I could have been there in the times of his ministry, and if I could have seen the miracles, and I could have, you know, been there and witnessed certain things, and oh, I'd like to have been there on the river when the light come down. I'd like to have seen those things. I'd like to have seen this or whatever. And miracles, you know. Brother Billy Paul talk about seeing eyeballs being created and just marvelous things and tumors just drop off, goiters, and just wonderful things that the Lord did. And I would love to have seen them. But when I think of it, I think what would have meant the most to me right here, this thing right here, I tell you, Brother Branham being out, and you know the story when he was out hunting and the great storm was coming and they told him to get out, and you know he's going to be snowed in and a great storm. And so they went out, and the snowstorm come, and Brother Branham told the brothers to get back to camp as hard as you can, because when it starts, it's going to be nonstop, and it's going to be blinding, and you ain't going to find your way, and you'll get caught in it and die. And so he began to come off the mountain, and he said, a voice spoke to him and says, go back to where you come from. Go back up.
Yeah.
And he thought, he didn't heed to it the first time, because he just thought he was thinking that in his mind. And the voice came again and says, go back where you come from. So he turned around obediently and went back. And then we know that the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, I am the one that calmed the storm on the wind, on the sea that day. I'm the one that done these things. And he said, speak to the wind and it'll obey you. And he spoke to that storm, and that storm miraculously just dissipated and just dissolved. And even the meteorologists and things don't know what happened. It was happening just like it should, and then it just vanished. It was just gone in a few moments time, short minutes there. And then the Lord spoke to him as he went down and was I think going to a special place that he always recognized the gift of his wife in his life. And he went to, and the Lord spoke to him and says, now why don't you walk with me a while?
Right.
Now of everything I've ever heard him say,
yeah,
I'd love to hear those words.
Right.
Why don't you walk with me a while?
Amen.
Friend, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's about you and the Lord walking together. That's what it all boils down to. If we don't get anything else out of this service, your walk with God is everything to you. Amen? God is calling to you right now. Why don't you walk with me? Can you hear him calling out to Adam? Adam. Adam. Where are you? Why was he calling to him? Because he longed for that fellowship. He longed for that friendship. He longed for that relationship. He longed for it. Can you hear him call your name?
Amen.
As we stand to our feet?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, we talk about being the bride. That's who we are. It's who we are. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. But what does that refer to? It refers to a love between a bride and a groom. What's the greatest thing that we can have? What's the greatest thing? It's to be in love with Him. To be in love with Him. What's stronger to hold you? To preach the do's and the don'ts and don't do this and do this, or to fall in love with Him? I want to fall in love with Him, don't you? I want to walk with Him. I want to be in love with Him. I want to fellowship with Him. Oh, there's nothing like walking with the Lord. There's nothing more that I could ever hope for or ever wish for than to hear that voice say, "Why don't you walk with me a while?" Amen. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer. As we go to Him in prayer, let's just look inside of our hearts together and let's take an inventory or just a time of reflection in our walk with God. And I know that, you know, I could stand here and tell you many a times that I've let other things get in the way and I've allowed circumstances of life to prevail in my heart, and I've went through days sadly where I didn't give the Lord quite the time that I should have, and you know it only hurt me. I know it hurt Him, but we hurt ourselves so badly when we don't walk with the Lord. We don't spend time with Him. We don't get alone with Him. And we need that time. Let's just bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we could all, no doubt, as we reflect on these things, and Lord, thinking of walking with You, and Lord, how great it is, and how essential it is, and how important it is, and Lord, forgive us, God, when we allowed other things to get in the way. God, forgive us, Lord, when we placed importance on other things, too much importance. I know we've got to take care of things and we've got obligations and things, but oh Lord, I pray that God, You would somehow speak to our heart tonight and we could hear that voice calling our name. Why don't You walk with me a while? Why don't You pull aside from Your busy life? Why don't You get in the presence of God and, oh, to fellowship with Him and to draw near unto Him and to feel that presence and hear that voice and the meditation of our heart. And, oh, God, it does us more than anything in this life, Lord, when we can just draw from that presence. Oh, God, we're just asking, Lord, we're preaching on being the contrast, and we've been anointed to be that contrast. And Lord, we read there where, God, it takes You. It takes You living Your life through us. That the best thing we can do is just surrender and yield ourselves to You. Lord, that the Holy Spirit can actually live its life through us. And oh, Lord, we pray, God, that You would just help us, Lord. You know where we're at. You know what's before us and what is behind us. And oh God, we're asking, Lord, that You would just bless each and every heart here. Lord Jesus, may You just grant a special blessing to every heart. Father, we love You. We commit these things to You in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Can you say, "I love You, Lord"? I love You, Lord, with all my heart. I'm not a singer, but I'll let Brother take over. Let's just take time, close our eyes, and give Him the worship, the honor from the depth of our heart. We don't need to be in a hurry right now. We just need to spend some time before our Lord. If we need to, let's renew our love vow to Him. If we need to, maybe we need to cut some things away. That's some pulls in our life. Maybe some things have gotten a hold of us. Maybe there's something there that's draining the life out of us. We need to cut those things away so that He can have His way.
Amen. Let's just worship the Lord together. Amen.
Out there tonight. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. Yes, I just want to be with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be where you are. Daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near, Lord. Draw me near to where you are. Yes, I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. In your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be, I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. Yes, I just want to be with you. Amen. Amen. You love him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful words tonight. Amen. We just take them to heart. You know, Brother Daryl was here just a little bit ago and planted that seed of that thought of what if this is your last day. And, you know, we've been meditating on that and thinking how you would live. But, you know, let's tack on to that tonight. What if this was your last day? Would you walk with him? Amen. Well, then we want to walk every day with him. Every day like it's our last day, but walk with him. Amen. We don't want to be a Martha where we're just in a mad dash trying to accomplish everything because it's the last day. We want to walk with him. Amen. And he wants to walk with us much more than we want to walk with him. And we have a painful desire, don't we? I mean, the longer we go and the more corrupt the world is, the more contrast there is, the more we want to walk with him. Amen. Amen. Here I am to worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that heart adore you. spent with you. So here I am to worship you.